So we now are the proud owners here in the yeshiva of Kovetz Mefarshim, which collects all the Mefarshim on the Sugya of Chanukah. So we'll have to find a place for it so we'll know where it is. It'll save me a lot of trouble photocopying. I'll just tell you what page it is so you can photocopy it at your leisure. So we're here on Daf Chof Aleph Amid Beis. And the Gemara presented a machlokes as to whether kovs are zokik la or ain zokik. As it turns out, two out of the three shitas in the Gemara, that's Rav Chisda and Rav, they hold that kovs are ain zokik la. You can move this code, I don't know how it got here. So.
Kovs are dar.
And then the Gemara quotes a brisa which seems to prove that kovs are zokik lo. And that you'll see here on Daf Chof Aleph Amid Beis. And it starts with the word uriminhu, which is parallel to Tosas De'i. And the Gemara quotes the following brisa: Mitzvasa mishetishka achama ad shetichle regel ben ashuk. And the Gemara understands that mitzvasa means that the ner should be lit from shkia all the way till tichle regel min ashuk. My love, the ikovsa, if it goes out within that time period, hadar madlikla, he has to rekindle it. And that would certainly prove the shita Rav Huna, the kovsa zokakla. Lo, the Gemara says, I have another way of interpreting the brisa, and that is the ilo adlik madlik. That he has, if he hasn't yet lit, he has a shear of zman that he could light anywhere until Achen Tichle Regman Ashuk. And Tosas Dikamasil Dehi, we have two chairs here, or one chair at least. Just have to move this here and maybe put this on top. No one's sitting here, this is just.
But this Gemara belongs to you.
Yeah, so why don't you sit here and I'll make a little room for you here if I can. This, if you can put it all the way in the corner, I don't know how it got here. So Tosas points out, I'll be Kan V'elech over zman. It's too late. And then the Gemara says, "Inami l'shiura," that there's a shear of a kamus, a certain volume, a minimum volume of oil that has to be in the light, in the candle. And we had a long discussion about this in terms of kitusa mechta shiura. If you remember, if it was ton sreifa, fine. Now, there's an interesting point here that I wanted to mention to you, and that is that what is actually tichla regel min ashuk? The Gemara itself asks that question, and the Gemara answers, which you'll see two lines down, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, adekalya rigla de tarmudai. Now, who are these tarmudai? So Rashi says, Shem Uma. Now, I want to share with you an insight of Rav Soloveitchik, my Rebbe, which is quoted by Rav Shurkin in the Hari Kedem, and I want to analyze that with you. So first, we're going to start with an introduction. This introduction is actually based on a sugya not here in Shabbos, but rather a sugya Masechta Megillah on Daf Yud Dalet. And the Gemara there establishes that there were Memches, there were 48 Nevi'im, and 7 Nevi'os, and it's Nabdu Lehem Yisrael. And the Brisa there, quoted on Megillah, in Megillah on Daf Yud Dalet, says, V'lo pichsu v'lo hosiru al mashakosuv mitorah. And they never, neither is subtracted from the Torah, nor added to the Torah. Except for one case, and that's Mikra Megillah. That in the case of Mikra Megillah, the Nevi'im added a mitzvah. So the Gemara asks, my drush, on what drush or what base do they have to add Mikra Megillah? After all, the Torah says you can't add mitzvahs to the Torah. And the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, who says that we derive it from a Kal V'chomer. Uma avdus l'cheirus amrin in shira is mivisa l'chaim lo kolshke. That just like in the case of Yitzias Mitzrayim, where it wasn't a question of our lives were on the line, but just it was from the Avdus Lucheri, said, yet we recited Shira. How much more so in Misa Lechayim, in the case of the Gzeira of Lahashmin Lara Lavid, we have to recite Shira. Then the Gemara goes on to say, so why don't we recite Hallel on Purim? And the Gemara gives the famous answer, Kriyasa Zuilua. There are a number of other answers, but there is a mitzvah of Mikra Megillah as a kium of Mimisa Lachayim Lo Kolshke. So the Hari Kenu quotes Rav Soloveitchik is saying the following, Biru Divrei HaGemara Hu. So this is in Simon Kuf Pei Gimel. The Af, even though Gam Kodem Mikra Megillah Gazru V'Tiknu Takonis Rabbanon, we find many takonis that the Chachamim instituted, Kamosha Gazar David Al Yichud, or Shlomo Takonis Erevin, Takonis Nitil Sidayim, Shni Slarayas, we have many takonis to Rabbanon. He says, Kol Osan Takonis Hein Laso Siag LeTorah. In other words, if you're preventing, fencing a person from violating Losaseh, so the Torah itself recommends, advocates, and even puts the responsibility on the shoulders of the Chachamim to create a siag and to keep us far away from violating the Torah. The Kushas HaGemara, but this sugya here in Masechta Megillah is focused on mitzvah saseh, on Mikra Megillah as a mitzvah d'Rabbanon, the mitzvah chadosha midivrei sofrim, v'ein lo zecher v'ikar ben haTorah. So the Torah gives a license and even a responsibility to the Chachamim to institute a siag laTorah. And that's fine. But what the Gemara is bothered by here is how can the Rabbanon create a new mitzvah, a mitzvah chadasha? That already is beyond the purview of what the Torah gave them authority to do, because now they're being mosif a mitzvah to the Torah. Oh. If that be the case, so what's the Gemara's answer? This kal v'chomer mimisa l'chaim lo kol shkein. Mira v'bir tshuvas ha-Gemara. The darshin and kal v'chomer mi'avdus l'cheres. Hainu, listen carefully, this is the punchline. Af be'ikar chovas megillah himin rabbanon. Even though certainly the mitzvah, the obligation to read the Megillah is only drabbanon, mikomakom, yesh b'kiyum mitzvasa, kiyum min haTorah. There's a kiyum d'oraisa of Mikra Megillah. So it means that even though my obligation at this particular moment on the night of the 14th of Adar, or the 15th of Adar, to read the Megillah, and that certainly is only drabbanon, the Torah never said you have to read Megillah Esther on this night. Nevertheless, once I read the Megillah Esther, I have a kiyum drabbanon, a kiyum d'oraisa. And how do I know there's a kiyum d'oraisa of reading the Megillah? And the answer is based on this: kal v'chomer mimisa l'chaim lo kol shkein. So now we have to ask about what? I mean, we're not learning Megillah now. We're learning what? Chanukah. So what about the mitzvah of Chanukah? That's not a siag on Torah. Here the Rabbanon are clearly adding a mitzvah to Rabbanon. What about Lo Tosif? They're not allowed to add another mitzvah. So he suggests, based on the Rambam, at the end of Hilchas Chanukah, the Rambam says, mitzvah snar Chanukah. We have to be very careful about the mitzvah snar Chanukah. Kidei lo hodia l'nes, to notify, to proclaim the miracle, publicize the miracle, ulahosif b'shvach hakel v'hodoyalo, and to enhance and add an element of thanks, of praise to God for the nisim sha'asolono. That's the Lashon HaRamba. So our salvation wants to suggest here that perhaps the kiyum d'oraisa of Ner Chanukah, like the kiyum d'oraisa of Megillah, shevach v'hodoya al hanes. Meaning, once the Rabbanah made a breakthrough and they allowed for a takana of Chovas Megillah as a mitzvah midirei sofrim, based on the halach of what? Of a kiyum d'oraisa. So you cannot have a mitzvah that's pure d'Rabbanah from A to Z, and there's no element of a kiyum d'oraisa to it. That would be a violation of Al-Tosif. So if the Rabbanah would say today that, you know, there's a mitzvah to stand on your head and do somersaults in the air, that would be a violation of Al-Tosif. what is the license? When do the Rabbanan have a green light to formulate a mitzvah and create a new mitzvah? That's only if within the following framework. The chiyuv is the Rabbanan, but the kiyuv is d'oraisa. Notice you're fulfilling a mitzvah d'oraisa. So take, for example, Bikur Cholim. Right? There's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch about when and how often do you visit the sick. Or Nichum Avelin. So that's all the Rabbanan. So you'll ask yourself, well, how can the Rabbanan institute a new mitzvah of Nichum Avelim, of Bikur Cholim, of Achnasas Kal, etc., etc.? And the answer is that it's a Kiyum Doraisa. What's the Kiyum Doraisa? What's the Kiyum Mitzvah Doraisa of Bikur Cholim and Nichum Avelim and so on? So once again, the Rabbanan are within their bounds to add a new mitzvah as long as that mitzvah has a Kiyum Doraisa. So what's the Kiyum Doraisa of Hanukkah? The Rav says, based on the Rambam, Lo'odia ulahosif shvach ve'odoya l'Hashem al anisim shasalon. That's the lashon of the Rambam. So it's a kiyum of hodah and shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having saved us. So this is a Hari Kedem in Simon Kuf Pei Gimel when he gets to the mitzvah of Megillah. But let's turn back for a moment to an earlier Simon. And this is here in Hanukkah. And here Rav Soloveitchik has a different approach to the same question. Meaning he's still operating within the framework of a Chiyuv D'Rabbanan and a Kiyuv D'Oraisa. And therefore in Hanukkah we're going to have to find a Kiyuv D'Oraisa. But he has another Simon here. Can anybody tell me where it is? What number is it?
Which one?
Was it? Yeah. Say a little louder, Sammy.
Reish Ayin Hay.
Reish Ayin Hay. Okay,
Page Reish Ayin.
Oh, Page Reish Ayin Hay. Okay.
Kuf Sama. Simon Kuf Sama.
Okay, that's easier for me. Simon Kuf Sama. Okay. And here he has a quote from one of the Rishonim. And that is the Rabbeinu Daniel HaBavli. And Rabbeinu Daniel HaBavli says the following: Kishemafarsem es hanes, when he publicizes the miracle, yesh bazeh kiyum shel kiddush Hashem. So now you might ask, well, the Gemara says in Megillah that the kiyum of Megillah that justifies and permits the Rabbanan to institute the mitzvah mikra Megillah is hodaya, is kal v'chomer from misa l'chaim. The Gemara doesn't mention that publicizing the Nes is a kiyum of Kiddush Hashem. So we'll get to that in just a minute. But in any event, Chanukah is a kiyum of Kiddush Hashem. Shubafarsem l'rabim es hanes Hashem osa l'bonov v'hoshie mitzarosam mitzarosam benisim uveniflos. And this is all included under the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. So again, there are two answers that we're offering to the question, what is the Kiyum D'Oraisa of Ner Chanukah? Is it Shevach Odoya, and that was Meduyik in the Lashon HaRambam, or is it Kiddush Hashem, as we see in Rabbeinu Daniel HaBav? So Rav Soloveitchik wants to suggest, based on this formulation, an unbelievable Chiddush. Because the pasuk says v'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, so I would have said, based on that pasuk, that Kiddush Hashem is in front of whom? Jews or non-Jews?
Jews.
But Rashi says that atchitichla regel v'nashuk, which is the latest time for pirsum hanes in their Chanukah, is shem uma. Rashi says the tarbidai is the shem uma. So Rav Soloveitchik says upirish Rashi tarbidai shem uma. Mashma v'divrei Rashi, d'yesh kiyum d'oraisa, shel pirsum hanes bifnei hagoyim. You know, like the famous story about the... you like stories? This is a story I'm sure you all heard. There's a fellow who... he's an Orthodox Jew, way back in the day, and he takes a job down in some little dorf in the south, you know, like in the state of Georgia or someplace down there. And he doesn't wear a yarmulke down there because, you know, that's where they believe in those little dwarfs that Jews still have horns, right? They still believe. So his boss doesn't know that he's Jewish. So he's been hiding his Jewish identity for months and months. And it's getting close to Hanukkah. So his wife and him have a discussion whether or not he should light Ner Hanukkah. again, maybe he could light inside the house, but they wanted to light it outside the house. So they were very nervous and anticipating. You remember the story? So what happened is that when they get close to Hanukkah, he says, what am I going to do now? You know, if my boss finds out I'm Jewish, I don't know. I don't know what the repercussions are going to be. So she says, let's think about it. And then when they get to Hanukkah, she says, we got to light Hanukkah candles. So he lights Hanukkah candles. His boss lives right across the street, so there's no question that his boss, if he lights Hanukkah candles outside or in the window, is going to see that he's Jewish. So after he starts lighting the first candle, his wife says, what a beautiful reflection there is, like a mirror reflection from outside because of the glass, you know, the pane of the window. He looks a second time and he notices that that's not a reflection, that right across the street there's another Ner Chanukah. His boss is also Jewish. So anyway, in the Hava meeting, he thought his boss was a guy. And the question is there a Pirsum HaNes to a guy? And it means that if you're in the North Pole and the only one who's there, that, you know, living in the North Pole is some guy, you're alone, and so is there a mitzvah Pirsum HaNes? So Rav Soloveitchik says that there's a kiyum of Kiddush Hashem even in front of goy. Haraya, Rashi says that Tarmidoi is Shem Uma, these were non-Jews. And he says that this concept that you can be Makadi Shem Shamayim because of the guy, that the guy sees you on Ner Chanukah, again, I'm assuming the guy understands what Chanukah is all about, and he sees you on Ner Chanukah, he's a Tarmidoi. So the Rav says that this perhaps would shed a light on the Rambam. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah Tes, which is the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, for which you have to give up your life rather than violate the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. So the Rambam has a kasha. One of the three mitzvahs for which you have to give up, one of the three averus, I guess you'd say, for which you have to give up your life is Avodah Zarah. We passing like Rava in Masechta Sanhedrin on Daf Samachal. Rava says Ha'oved Mi'avo Mi'ira is part of it, that if a person worships an idol out of fear, he doesn't really believe that the idol is a god, then he's not chay for avodah zarah. So this is the Rambam's question: how could you be chayav to give up your life rather than violate avodah zarah and bow down to an idol? After all, you don't believe in the idol. You're just doing it out of fear. And the Rava says that if you worship an idol out of fear and you don't really believe that it's a god, then you're not chayav for avodah zarah. So why is it Kiddush Hashem? So here's the Rambam's lashon. Here's how the Rambam answers this question. Shelo nishma elav, we're not allowed to listen to the guy who forces us to worship an idol. Ela nimsar atzmenu lemisa, we have to give up our lives to die. Velo nit'ehu, we cannot mislead him, lachshov, that he'll believe shekafarnu. Afal pisha belibosenu maminim bo yis'ale. Vizoshi mitzvahs Kiddush Hashem. So the Rambam says the whole essence of Kiddush Hashem, the chiyuv, in the case of Avodah Zarah, is lo nit'ehu lachshov shekafarnu. So the Jew believes in God. He doesn't believe in the powers of the idol. But the guy thinks that the Jew is bowing down to the idol because he believes in the idol. Says the Rav, you see clearly from this Rambam, the same Yisod that we want to derive from Rashi and Tarmidoi, that there's a kiyum of Kiddush Hashem in front of the Goyim. Does the Goyim get the certain impression that itself generates Kiddush Hashem? Otherwise, why is he chayv to give him his life? Al Kochenu, he says, Achiv laharos legoyim, she'ein anu nichnoim liridifas hadas. In other words, that we should show the Goyim that we're not willing to submit ourselves because of the fear of death and pain of death to worshiping the idols. And that's what we have to show the Goyim. And therefore, there's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Oh. So the Rav wants to say that that's only with regard to Hanukkah, but not with regard to Purim. He says, Masha'en came to Purim. Purim is not about Redifas Hadas. It's not like the Yevonim who are battling against us. Lashkicham Torasecha Avira Michukei Ritzonecha. It's when you call Shema. But rather, Purim is a Nes B'Hatzolas Haguf. Do you remember this? This is the famous Levush that the Levush says is a fundamental difference between Purim and Chanukah. Purim is all about the physical salvation of the Jewish people from extinction. whereas Hanukkah is all about the spiritual salvation of the Jewish people. So since Purim is about Hatzolos HaGuf, therefore the Pirsum HaNesi is to thank Hashem, to praise God for saving our guf. It's not about Kiddush Hashem. It's not about the fact that, well, they wanted to force us to worship their idols. That was not on the agenda of Achashverosh and Haman. I don't know if they were very religious people, if they were devout Christians or anything like that. He says that when it comes to Hodiah, Hodiah is only from a miracle, and that has to do with Yisrael. So the fact that the Goyim might hear your Mikra Megillah, that's irrelevant. But in the case of Hanukkah, if the Goyim see your Ner Hanukkah, and they, again, identify that as a statement about God and God's intervention on behalf of the Jewish people, that's going to be a Kiyum of Kiddush Hashem. Rabbi, I just want to make one comment here. I don't understand what Rav Soloveitchik saw in this Rashi about the Talmidei. Let's read the Rashi a second time. The Bryce is trying to figure out until when are the people outside in the marketplace that would see your Ner Hanukkah. Because keep in mind that in those days it got dark, they didn't have electricity, and people didn't roam around the streets, there were no street lights, they went home with nightfall. So who's going to see your Ner Hanukkah? Okay, there are still people that are coming home from their businesses, or they're making last minute purchases, so we can give you a little bit of time, let's say after nightfall, till they get home. But Ashetichla Regel Min Ashuk, who's out there in the Shuk at this time? So Rashi explains, who was these Talmidei? They were Malachi Eitz and Dakos. These were the guys from a certain nation. You know, every nation has its own spets. You know, these are good at that, and this nation is good at that, and so forth and so on. These were the professional wood sellers. They would go out and collect these very small pieces of wood, these logs that could be used to give fire to illuminate their houses and give warmth into the house. And they would be mis'akev b'shuk. They would stay in the marketplace the latest. Why? Because they felt that it was worth it from a financial perspective. In other words, from a business enterprise perspective, it paid for them to stay on a little bit later, even though it's dark out. Why? So Rashi gives a whole shtickel Torah that the Bnei Ashuk, meaning the people in the marketplace, holchim Bnei Ashuk lebateya mishach hashecha, umavirim v'bateyam ar, so they need light, so they illuminate the house by adding logs to the campfire. Ukshetzrichim li'etzim, but when they realize, hey, wait a minute, I ran out of logs, my log supply is very low. I guess we would talk about milk supply. You know, you have to look in the fridge to see if there's milk in the fridge. So when you realize that there's very little milk in the fridge, it's time to go out and buy some more milk. I mean, everyone will apply it to whatever you go out and buy. So he says, tzrichim li'etzim, is Yotzim Mekonimihem, so that the Bnei, the Talmidei are going to linger in the marketplace in order to make an extra buck, because the last people who are going to realize, oh no, I don't have enough logs, and even though it's nightfall, I got to go out, to have no choice, I got to stumble through the dark and buy some more logs and resupply. It pays for the Talmidei because of those people, you know, to linger. Like, I always wondered why the Egged buses bother, you know, drive. I passed an Egged bus this morning at 5:30 a.m. I don't know exactly when they start their rounds. Like, who's there? There was like no one in the station. No one was waiting for the bus. Okay, so that's a cash. I have an Egged. I have the Teretz, but because the state owns part of Egged. But be that as it may, it makes sense for the Talmidei to postpone their you know, close the geschäft, close the shop until the last buyer is out there buying. Who is the last buyer who's out there buying? For which the Talmidei, you know, you catch the Talmidei before they close shop and they lock up the vendor locks up his... He might be a Jew, right? I don't know. The Jews also needed logs to illuminate their houses, right? So I'm not sure if Rashi is telling me shame Umar. Rashi just wants to tell me who are the Malachi Eitzim who would stay and remain in the marketplace the latest, But it doesn't mean that the Kiddush Hashem and the Pirsim Manes is for the Taridoi themselves. It could be it's for the last Jews who go out and say, oh no, I realize now I have to resupply my lots, and therefore the Taridoi are there. I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't see that there's a clear-cut proof from this Rashi that there's Kiddush Hashem in front of the good.
Maybe he holds. Maybe the Rav Nisov Kaz says,
Dr. Joel, can you do your thing again? Or am I the only one who feels warm?
It's not open.
Uh-oh. So what's going on? Maybe the air conditioner's not on?
It's not on.
Oh, it's not on. So what? Now I'm going to ask you to do something even more sophisticated, Dr. Joel. If you open the door, make a little sharp left, and just press the air conditioning on. See if you can find it.
Maybe the Rav is mudaic in the fact that that Rashi does. He didn't really have to say shame umma. Rashi did not have to be so makbit and say shame umma. All he had to say, Mlakta Eitzim Dakim. These are the guys. That's who they are.
Rashi wants you to know that the Talmidei were people. So they were in charge of selling.
That's what I'm saying. That's what the Rav is a mudaic on. Because
the Kiddush Hashem is to them. But again, Rashi is saying is that there are people who are going out to buy from the Talmidei. He's not saying that the Kiddush Hashem is for the Talmidei themselves. The Talmidei are probably so preoccupied with closing up their vendors that...
It doesn't say it's Yidden either. Rashi doesn't say...
Right. So I just don't know. I'm just saying, you know, that's why it's published here and it's not published in any of the Shiurim Lezecha Avamori, which the Rav actually published in his lifetime. All right.
Maybe right. That's telling us that we shouldn't try to interpret the word.
That maybe Talmidei means, you know, these are those, they do this. Rashi's saying it's a shame. Thank you.
Same kind of comes from the next four pages.
Wow, great. Excellent. So it's from Yuchesen on, right?
Yuches to Chaval.
Great. Excellent. This will have... On a very subjective level, this will be helpful for me because I schlep around the sefer back and forth and here and up and down. If I have photocopies, I don't need to schlep the sefer until I run out of pages. And then I'll call you again, like the Talmidei, you know, when there's still...
Available.
Oh, no, I forgot. Now, Rabosai, if you have these pages, I have a larger edition, but I gave it out on the... I don't know if you were able to staple them. I didn't find the stapler, but it's called Otzer HaYunin. Otzer Yudin. You have a stapler? So if you find those two pages, one page will say Chav Tes, and on the flip side Chav Ches. Correct? And the other will say Lamed and Lamed Aleph. So you want to staple that together. There's a stapler floating around here. And you want to hold on to that because you never know.
Is there any other copies of that?
Are there any extra copies back there? Okay. Great. Oh, that's Lamed Lamed Aleph. Okay, that's not going to help us right now, because we're up to Chav Tes. Okay, then?
You want me to print more copies?
If you don't mind printing one more copy, that would be... Anyone else who needs a copy? Okay, so three more copies would be great. So now, if you look on the left column, on page Chav Tes, so on the top left it'll say Chav Tes, and you'll see the first major paragraph starts with a quote from the Avnei Nezer, who's Medayik from the Ramban. And here we want to know the following, a very interesting question. If I were to ask you, a person lights his Ner Chanukah, and then it goes out, and it didn't last until Achitich L'Regel Ben Ashuk. Was he Yotzei the Mitzvah, or was he not Yotzei the Mitzvah? What would you say? It depends. If Yod Kofsa ain't Zakakla, then he was Yotze the Mitzvah. If Yod Kofsa is Zakakla, then he was not Yotze the Mitzvah. Comes along, what do you say? I'm saying in the Machlokshin, Kofsa Zakakla, Kofsa ain't Zakakla would dictate to me whether or not he was Yotze the Mitzvah when he lit it. So if I hold Kofsa Zakakla, he wasn't Yotze the Mitzvah. That's the simple pshat in the Gemara until the Avnei Nezer, the Sukkot Shavuot Rebbe, came along. And he based himself on a Ramban, and he says the following, that, you know what Kavsa Zakakla means? It means that he did fulfill the mitzvah with his first Hadlokah, even though it went out. Nevertheless, he has to rekindle it. But the reason he has to rekindle it is because of a new din, not because he forfeits the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Let's see if we can close the door. Thank you. But rather, because of a din, he calls it beguf haner. What does it mean, beguf haner? We have halacha called huktza l'mitzvasa. That means that when you designate an object for a mitzvah, it takes on a new status as long as the mitzvah still continues. So kavza zaka klav means that since this ner is a ner Chanukah, you have to treat it in a special way with kid gloves, right? And what do? So achlachzor ladlika, you have to rekindle it, not for your sake, not for the sake of your mitzvah, that mitzvah you already fulfilled, even if you hold kavza zaka klav, but rather for the sake of your, shall I say, respect and honor for the guf haner, because the guf haner is hukta limits vas. Now, based on this unbelievable chiddush, there are two nafkaminas. Again, all these nafkaminas at this point in our discussion are according to the Ma'adiyom, who says kavsa zakakla. And according to the, right, we're gonna pass that kavsa ein zakakla, but still we're gonna have nafkaminas even if I hold kavsa ein zakakla. Right now, the Avnei Nezer is focused on the Ma'adiyom, who says kavsa zakakla. And he has two nafkaminas. Number one, he's gonna have to rekindle it, but not. But not because of the mitzvah, meaning the mitzvah itself, he was Mekayim. But rather, he has to rekindle it because of the din of the ner. Very interesting din called Huktzel Mitzvah, so that therefore the ner has to have, you know, it's almost like the ner is a personality that demands its due care. You know, you have to care for this, you know, you have to cuddle and caress this ner. The ner is a ner shel mitzvah. It's huktzel mitzvah, and it yells out, "Use me as much as you can." The second chiddush of the Avnei Nezer, which is a real powerful nafkamina, is that when he rekindles the ner, he doesn't make a bracha. Why doesn't he make a bracha?
He already
was mekayim the mitzvah. You don't make a bracha after you mekayim the mitzvah. Okay, so that's point number one.
How can he make up something like that? I mean, he says
his raya.
I just made it up.
He has a raya for this from the Ramban. The Ramban says that din kavsa zokikla eino shadayin lo kiyam es mitzvasa el din beguf haner. So I didn't get a chance to look in the Ramban. Then we would have to go back to the Ramban and see where the Ramban got it from. I'm just, you know, pushing it one step early. But I'll tell you on both sides, my focal point today is not the Avnei Nezer so much, because I want to focus on the Ma'adi Yomer who says that Kavsa ain Zakakla. But I think there's one point in the Avnei Nezer that's very fascinating, that as we go along, we can build on. Okay. Now, in the next paragraph here, the Otzer HaYunim, he quotes the Beis Halevi, which is very familiar to us. For those who were with me, I think it was about a week ago today, or maybe 6 days ago, on Thursday of last week, we spent a lot of time in the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi bases himself, number one, on a Sugya Menachos, and number two, on what he considers a fundamentally logical principle in Hilchos Chanukah. The Sugya Menachos establishes that if the Ner Shebemigdash is extinguished, then you have to take out the shemen and the psila, you have to clean it all out and start anew. Why? Because what's the status of the shemen and the psila after you've lit it and now it went out? It's called deshen. Deshen means it has to be removed. It's no longer a ner. Oh, so the Beis HaLevi wants to say that you see from the Gemara Menachos that the original shemen and psila, after it goes out, has to be rekindled in Ner Shebemigdash, because that is an extension, if you will, I don't know if you want to call it a reincarnation, of the original Ner. And now, the Beis HaLevi has a second principle, which he doesn't prove from anywhere, but he feels it's compelling, it's a logically compelling principle. And that is that the Rabbanu Mesaken, that you light one candle and not two candles. Again, this either mitzvah, but I'm saying in terms of the Iker Mitzvah, it's not to light Shnei Pa'amim. It's not like Tibul, B'Yerek on Leil Pesach, we have two Tibulim. No, there's only one Hadlaka, and that's it. Therefore, says the Beis HaLevi, if I'm rekindling the light after it goes out, which, let's say, for example, if you hold Kovs and Zohar Klal, I'm obligated to rekindle the land. He says, it's pointless, it's futile, to light a new candle to replace the original candle. The only context within which Kovs and Zohar Klal makes sense that you have to rekindle the lamp is if you still have the Shemen and the Psila. Because if you're going to replace that Shemen and that Psila with a different Shemen and Psila, then it's going to be a new Hadlaka and a new Ner, and Lo Tiknu Le Hadlik Shtei Piyamim, Tiknu Le Hadlik Pamachas. So what makes this Hadlaka into one continuous Hadlaka? After all, the first Hadlaka was aborted, and now he's rekindling it. The answer, as long as he has the same Shemen and the same Ner, right, and the same Shemen and the same Psila, as we said before in Migdash, then now you're continuing that Ner, and it's not Deshen. So continuing the same Nair is just a technicality. You know, you're just getting the fire up and going again. But really, you're lighting the same Hadlaka that you lit before. And that's when it's meaningful to apply the principle of Kavsa Zokak. So I was thinking the following. There's another Beis HaLevi, which I don't know if it appears here on these pages or maybe on the pages that you haven't gotten to, but I'll say over the Beis HaLevi Baal Peh. The Beis HaLevi doesn't understand Bechlal. What is this machlokes of Kavsa Zokla, Kavsa Ein Zokla? He says Milson the Pshita that Kavsa Zokla.
Why?
Because the Gemara establishes on Daf Chav Gimel that a Chatzah Sheyesh La Shtei Psachim, so let's say your house is located in such a way that it is one avenue, one street that goes by on the southern side of your house, and there's another avenue that goes by on the northern side of your house, is chayav lahadlik shtei neros. He's chayav to be madlik in each Pesach. So the Gemara says, why? If I lit in one Pesach, why isn't that enough to cover my other Pesach? Who remembers the answer to the Gemara? Yeah. Right. The Gemara used a different term, but I assume it's the same as Varsayin. For that, you have to read a whole erech in the Encyclopedia Talmud called Chashoda, which is in volume 15, I think. And it's Chashoda, meaning somebody's going to walk down the southern side. You know, he sees you on Fifth Avenue. Lo and behold, he doesn't see a Nair. You know, the guys who are on Sixth Avenue on the northern side, they see the Nair, but these fellows don't see the Nair, and they're going to suspect you of having non-fulfillment, of omitting the mitzvah of what? Of Ner Chanukah. Frekta Beis HaLevi, what a beautiful kash. How can you possibly suggest Kavsa Ein Zakik La? What about Chashoda? For sure you have to rekindle the lamp. Why? Because the guy is going to go by, and lo and behold, he doesn't find the Ner. And if he doesn't find the Ner, he suspects you that you didn't light the Ner. So based on this kasha, the Beis HaLevi breaks new ground, and he wants to say the following. There's a fundamental difference between Kavsa Zakikla and Kavsa Ein Zakikla, but he has to relight it Mishum Chashoda. If it's Kavsa Zakikla, it means that once the candle goes out, he forfeits the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And perhaps when he rekindles the lamp, he's going to have to make a bracha, because his first bracha is gone. And even if you don't say he has to rekindle his bracha, it's an absolute chiyuv within the context of mitzvah Ner Chanukah. If he wants to obtain the chiyuv of Ner Chanukah, to light the Ner Chanukah, it's kofsa zakikla. Kofsa ein zakikla, he ein achinami has to rekindle the light, but only midin what? Midin chashon. So anochi akatan, I wanted to suggest that if we put these two Beis HaLevis together, maybe we can come up with a whole different answer. That if I hold Kavsa, then in the situation of Kavsa, there is no Chashoda. Why? Because the Beis HaLevi holds that the whole sugi of Kavsa, Zokikla, or Ein Zokikla, is only if he still has what? He still has the Ner. So again, you could always argue, but has the person who walks by know this? Does he know this? He doesn't know it. But at least on a conceptual basis, I don't know how Chashoda works, but if Chashoda works on a conceptual basis, then since the Beis HaLevi said, based on the Sugi Menachos, that you have to light the same Shemen and the same Psilos in order to generate the same Ner, and even if I hold Kavsa Ein Zokikla, if this original Shemen and this original Ner is completely lost, then you have no kavsa zakakla. It would be absolutely futile to relight with another set of oil and what and wicks. Is memela the whole discussion here about kavsa whether zakakla or ain zakakla is only conditional if you have the original shemen and the original psila. Then it's theoretically possible now to answer the Beis HaLevi's own question, from one Beis HaLevi to the other, that since you're lighting the same nair that you lit before, so the person who passes by sees that the nair is still there, he's going to definitely conclude that you lit the nair, that you did fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. He's not going to suspect you of non-fulfillment of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Okay.
So what if you switch to Shum Chashad, you should be able to take any camera. But why does it have to be done for yourself?
No, what I'm suggesting is that when we're talking about a mitzius here in Kavsa Zakakla, and the Beis HaLevi says, well, even if I hold Kavsa Ein Zakakla, I still have to light the candle, right? So my nafkah meaning comes up with this whole kiddush. So the mitzius that we're dealing with of Kavsa Zakakla or Ein Zakakla is you still have the nair. If you still have the nair, there's no chashada. Because when he sees the original nair, he assumes, look, there was a nair here, it went out, you know, you could see that the wick was lit, and he did fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. It's not a case where he took the nair and he threw it into the garbage, or he lost the nair. If that be the case, then the Beis HaLevi's kash would be correct. But since the Beis HaLevi says that the whole discussion and debate about kavsa zakakla or ein zakakla is limited to the case where you still have the nair. If you still have the nair, then the Roas sees the nair and he assumes that he lit the nair. That's what I'm suggesting. Okay, just think about it. I'm just throwing it out. I like it because I'm putting together two chidushim in the Beis HaLevi.
So then you don't have to worry, even according to Beis HaLevi, even in a zakakla, because it'll have been lit. So even I have to do both places, but somebody will pass by and say, well, I see an already burnt out candle, or whatever. So I know.
Oh, in Tu Pesachim you're talking?
Yes. Yeah,
so, well, no, the Mitzvah in Tu Pesachim is there's nothing in the other Pesach. Nothing. There's no candle, there's no batir.
Okay, but I'm saying that doesn't
happen. In one window, right, in one candle, Zakakla ain't Zakakla. So the Beis HaLevi says we're talking about a case where the candle is there. It was lit and it went out. So if it was lit and it went out, then the Roa sees that there's the candle. You know, he lit the candle. So it's not just there.
I'm saying, so you can say in a zakakla, and you could have just lit if you hold the lighting both places. So even if it goes out, there's no reason to relight it. You don't have to hold zakakla.
Right, but I'm saying that point is correct. Even if he only has one pesach, there's no reason to say he's kosher zakakla b'toras. Chashada, right? The Beis HaLevi wants to say that even if I hold kavsa ein zakakla, it's still zakakla lemaisa because of chashada. I'm just saying that that's not true. That there is no chashada over here. In the case of two pesachim, you never lit on the other pesach. Therefore, it's chashada. Okay. Think about it. I'm up to a paragraph called Yesh Shekosfu. So I just want to make sure everyone's on the same page. And here he quotes a Beis Ephraim. The Beis Ephraim lived, I think, about 150 years ago. And the Beis HaLevi, the Beis Ephraim wants to say the following. That if he lit the candle and it went out, and now we're holding kavsa zakakla, right? Does he make a bracha on the second hadlaka? So I want to freeze this before we see his answer to this question. Again, Rabosa, intuitively, if I would wake you up in the middle of the night and say, Kavsa Zakakla, the nail went out and I have to rekindle, do I have to make a bracha or not? What would be your answer?
No.
I would say absolutely has to make a bracha. Kavsa Zakakla. Kavsa Zakakla means that he didn't fulfill the mitzvah. Correct? And if he didn't fulfill the mitzvah, he has to make a bracha.
But he started the mitzvah. He started.
Okay, so I'll give him brandy. I started the mitzvah. Let's say I start a mitzvah, but I don't finish the mitzvah, and that's it. Now I have to start the mitzvah. All etch a sketch. I have to start from scratch. Do I have to make a bracha? For sure, I have to make a bracha.
If Thomas accidentally falls off, you don't make another bracha.
That's only if you didn't have hesek hadas. But if you had hesek hadas, then for sure
it depends on the shor of why kosher zakakla. We just discussed it before. Oh. If it's a separate mitzvah.
Excellent. If it's a din in what? This is the Avni Nezer.
Right.
In the Cheftza Shel Ner, that the Ner has to be lit because of the cover that I have to have for the Ner. It's Uktel Mitzvasa. Then I would not make a bracha on the second Hadlaka. Why? Because the Avodah based on the Ramban says that Eino Din Al Gavra, because as far as the Gavra is concerned, Kfar Kiyem Mitzvaso with the first Hadlaka, so there's no need for a Bracha on the second Hadlaka. But that's not the Pashtus. In other words, if I leave out the Avdinezer, then I would say Kavsa Zakrikla means that he didn't fulfill the basic mitzvah. The basic mitzvah, as we said a million times, is Ner Dolok. And he doesn't have a Ner Dolok. So comes along the base of Ephraim, and he says, Kavsa Veloid Lika, Lo Haisa Berchasa Levatola. The Bracha is still hanging, it's hovering in midair, you know, even though he already made the bracha and the candle is extinguished. The aflaman the omer kops and zokikla. Why? Kevan shekiyem es hamitzvah badloka, elo shelo niskayma b'chol pratel. I think he's saying something a little bit different than the Avnei Nezer, although they're very similar. The Avdinezer would say that once he did the first Hadlaka, even if I hold Kavsa Zakakla, he fulfilled the mitzvah from soup to nuts. The entire mitzvah has been obtained. The din of Zakakla has to do with Huktzel Mitzvah. It's a separate din. I don't think that that's what the Beis Ephraim has in mind. The Beis Ephraim would agree that there's a major chunk of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah as a Chovas Gavra, which he has not fulfilled. And that is to create a Ner Dolok. Comes along the Beis Ephraim and he wants to say that there are two Kiyumim to Ner Chanukah. There's the Beis Hadlaka and there's Ner Dolok. And the Nafkamina is Legabi Bracha. Once the Bracha was Chal on the Beis Hadlaka, says the Beis Ephraim, that's enough. And now the Bracha is not a Bracha Levatol. That's what I think the Beis Ephraim has in mind. But what's common here to both the Avdinezer and the Beis Ephraim, which I don't think would be simple pshat intuitively, is that Kavsa Zakaklo would not justify a second bracha when he rekindles the light. Okay. Now we're ready, Rabose, for the Piskei Harid, which is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Magen Avraham, in the Mishnah Brura, and in the Chayyotah. The Piskei Rid, he lived about, I would say, about 6 centuries ago, an Italian Jew. He belonged to the famous Torani family. You know, we have many, many different Rishonim who belong to that family. And he's quoted in the Shilte Giborim. He wants to know, what's the status of Ruach Mitzuya? A very common question. You know, you light the Ner Chanukah. You know, the Gemara Baba Kama always distinguishes between Ruach Mitzuya and Ruach She'ena Mitzuya. And there's no question that the normal velocity wind, which we can anticipate, is going to blow out his candles. Comes along the Piskei Rid with a Gevaldige Chiddush, unbelievable Chiddush. He says here, in this case, where he lit it, B'makom She'esh Ruach Mitzuya, Kuli Alma Lo Pligi, everybody agrees that Kavsa Zakakla. Even if I hold in general Kavsa Ein Zakakla, here Kavsa Zakakla. It's exact opposite, if you remember Rabbos, what we said about Shabbos vis-a-vis Chol. In Chol we said that you can have Machlokes, Kavsa Zakakla, Kavsa Ein Zakakla. But in Shabbos everybody agrees that Kavsa Ein Zakakla. That's what we wanted to say with the Trumas Hadeshen and so forth and so on. Here he's saying Pumfaker, that the Machlokes between Kavsa Zakakla and Kavsa Lo Zakakla is a case where it went out. You know, it was not anticipated. There were no reasons up front from the get-go to assume that it's going to be extinguished. And it went out, so you could argue Kavsa Ein Zakakla. And that's how we paskin. And then you can have to assume that even in the case of Shmonu Upsilos, that apostle for Shabbos, or kosher for Chanukah, because we don't assume, like a Ruach Mitzuya, that it's going to go out. And that was our discussion in Pnei Yoshua. You remember, will it last for a half hour? Won't last for a half hour? We have to assume that it has the capacity to last for a half hour. And therefore, the Piskei Rid would say that using inferior oils is not a problem. We can anticipate that it will last for a half hour. And we paskin kofsa ein zok. But if you light it in a place where immediately or within a very short period of time it's going to go out, then kuli alma lo pligi that kofsa zokakla. And his language is very far-reaching. He says, "Harezek kemisha hidlik beli shemen kishir anitzach." Right, the Gemara says that what's mishatichla regular achatichla regular ashok in the second answer to the Gemara lishiura, and you need a shear of a half hour. So he says, what happens if I light their Hanukkah with less than a shear of shemen? Obviously, I'm not yotzei the mitzvah. He says this candle is not going to last for the entire shear, not because I don't have enough oil in the lamp, but because of where I locate it, because of the wind.
He doesn't use the lashon of kofsos akavah. If you're being medayik,
I'll read his language. Let me. You'll tell me what to do. That he says, "Im hidlik b'makom sharuach mitzuya v'yecholol lechavos saner." No, the ruach mitzuya is strong enough to blow out the wind. He says, "Sarach lachzar ulahadlik gam lahalocha shekofsa ein zokavah." Shareza kimi shehidlik beli shemek kishir hanitzvah.
So his svar is not because kofsos are zogugla. His svar is because there's no shem, because it's like,
right. No, he's pointing out that even though I paskin la locha the kofsos ain't zogugla, here it's kofsos zogugla. Why? Because from the get go he lit it in a place where it'll go out. It's not going to last for a half hour. It's like shemen, less than a shear of shemen.
So no
brilliant chiddush of the Pesukei Arin. Would you agree with the Tosfos Rid intuitively?
Yeah.
Yes, this is intuitively correct. I mean, he's right. What's the difference between less than a shear of shemen and setting it up in a place where the wind is going to blow it out? It'll last for a minute, it'll last for 5 minutes, I don't know how long it's going to last.
This is one of the criteria is that I have a chef to show mitzvah or not. Enough oil is a chef to show mitzvah. We're not talking about wind. We're talking about whether I have a chef to show mitzvah.
You want to say the wind is external to the oil. If the oil it's funny because the Chayodim is going to say the exact opposite. But we'll get to the Chayodim. But Yechiel is saying something before the Chayodim. And that is that maybe we should say that as long as the Chefza per se, if I isolate the Chefza, forget about its location and the external conditions, the Chefza shel ner in and of itself has the capacity to last for a half hour. Maybe in such a case you have the shear of Shemin, and therefore that's sufficient. In other words, the Pesukei Arin is asking Lamaisa, is it going to last for a half hour, or is it not? And it's not going to last for a half hour. And I could have anticipated that from the get-go. It's not going to last for a half hour. No, if it's not going to last for a half hour, then it's Pachas Mikashir. Comes along Yechiel, and he wants to argue the Pesukei Arin. Again, I wouldn't want to take on the Pesukei Arin, but I agree with what your svara. It's a brilliant svara. And that is that maybe in this case, the nair itself, per se, if I isolate the nair, has a shear of shemen, and therefore it's royal hadlaka, and I can achieve my mitzvah. Masha ain't kidding if there's no shear. What did he say?
So you get the mitzvah even if you don't light it then.
No, you gotta light it.
Well, you gotta light it.
So you gotta light it so you can see.
But once he lit it, then he's lighting something that has the potential to last for a half hour. It didn't last for a half hour because we know there's a Ruach Mitzuya, but at least the nair itself.
Somebody takes a piece of
excellent, excellent, of right? Like the Gemara, the Bava Kama, you know, he throws the baby and somebody has a barrier and then he removes the barrier and so forth and so on. Now we want to study the chiddush of the pre chadash, and the Chayodim is going to make a big deal about this pre chadash. The Chayodim says that, you know what? I want to know, according to the Pesukei Arin, where he lit in a place where there's a ruach mitzuya that's going to blow out the candle. And that Pesukei Arin is accepted by Allah in the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah. I want to know whether or not when he rekindles the lamp the second time around, and hopefully not in a place where there's wind, because then he hasn't gained anything, but in the second round there's no wind, in a place where there's no wind, would he make a brach on the second Adlach? Now, Rabbosai, we said before that it could be possible that even if you hold kavsa zokakla, you might not need a bracha for the second round, either according to the Avnei Malu, the Avnei Nezer, or we said a svara in the remind me in the Beis Ephraim. But here the Chayodom wants to be machadish a chiddush, and this chiddush is spread apart, is split into two paragraphs. There's paragraph number one, which starts with the Dibra Masel Ubachaya Adam, and then there's paragraph number two, Ach. They're both the Chaya Adam. In the first paragraph, Ubachaya Adam, he says that whether or not you have to make a bracha on the second Adlaka depends on a machlokes between the Pri Chadash and the Pri Megadim. Pri Chadash was way earlier than the Pri Megadim. The Pri Chadash says that if you lit a candle that has less than a shear of oil, and now you're rekindling the lamp, the Pri Chadash says your lighting was meaningless, worthless, and you have to be chozer and make a bracha on the second adlok. Why is less than a shear? Says the Chaya Adam, according to the Pri Chadash, in the framework of the Piskei Rid, who equates Ruach Metsuya with less than a shear, you would have to make a bracha on the rekindling of the light. And keep in mind, he's going even according to Ma'adi Yom, who says Kofsa Ein Zakekla, because even though Ein Zakekla, and that's how he passed in Zalacha, but in the case of a Ruach Metsuya, he's Zakekla, and not only is he Zakekla, his garnish vet, his Adlaka wasn't worth a dime. He's going to have to replace it with another adlaka, as if he's starting from scratch, with a bracha. And why? Because it's like the Pri Chadash, who paskins that if you light with less than a shear, then you have to start from scratch. You have to fill up the receptacle and make sure there's enough oil to last for half hour. When you kindle it now, you have to make a bracha, because the first adlaka in Pachas Mikashir is meaningless. Now, since the Piskei Rid establishes the analogy, the equation between Ruach Metsuya and less than a shear of Shemen, based on that analogy, says the Chayyadah, we have to conclude that just like in less than shear of Shemen, the Pri Chadash says he make a bracha, so too in the case of Ruach Metsuya, you have to make a bracha. Says the Chaya Adam, however, what about the Pri Megadim? The Pri Megadim, Pilei Ploim, disagrees with the Pri Chadash, one fruit against the other. It's getting really fruity in here. And the you're not in the mood for laughing. Okay, it's you know if we were learning Purim, I guess maybe you'd be in the mood. Chanukah is more serious. Okay, so in any event, so what does the Pri Megadim say? The Pri Megadim says that if you light with pachas mikashir, you have to rekindle the light with a shear, but you don't have to make a bracha. The Hersa Maisi, you don't have to make a bracha. What does that mean? How could the Pri Megadim possibly justify that in a case of pachos mikashir, you don't have to make a bracha? Your adlaka was meaningless. And based on the Pri Megadim, you know, the Chayyadah wants to say, wait a minute, you know, you lit in a makom, sheyesh bo ruach metsuya, now you're lighting again, you're fulfilling the dictum of the Piskei Rid, and wait a second, I don't know if you have to make a bracha on the second one, because the Piskei Rid equates it with Pachas Mikashir, and the Pri Megadim says in Pachas Mikashir, you don't make a bracha. But the Pri Megadim itself is pretty way out. So Rabosai, what does this remind you of? When the Pri Megadim says that you don't make a bracha in the case of Pachas Mikashir.
Is this first bracha a bracha l'batala?
Right. According to Pri Megadim or according to Pri Chadash? Which theory are you
up? Because it was never going to fulfill the mitzvah anyway.
Well, wait a second, let's go slow. According to the Pri Chadash, he has to make another bracha, because when he lit b'pachas mikashir, it's not worth a dime. He didn't fulfill the mitzvah. But according to the Pri Megadim, paradoxically, he doesn't make a bracha on the second adlaka, and we're asking the question, why not? What meaningfulness was there to the first adlaka of pachas mikashir?
It's a continuation.
So I'm waiting right now. I'm waiting to hear something that would give me a lot of nachas ruach, just to see that you're following the shiurim. For those who've been with me for a while, again, this is not for someone who just tuned in today for the first time. What should this remind you of, Rabosa?
The mitzvah is
a sugi that we spent at least a half a shiur on. Maybe it wasn't a full shiur, so that's why you don't remember. Shemin Sreifa, who remembers the long discussion we had about Shemin Sreifa? What was the kasha of the Shari Ephraim? He didn't understand. How could it be that you could be yotze the mitzvah of the Chanukah with Shemin Sreifa? What about Kiddusei Mechta Shiura? Do you remember this whole long discussion that we had with Rabbi Kivagan? We had a lot of excitement here. The sparks were flying because we didn't understand how can you be yotze the mitzvah of the Chanukah with Shemin Sreifa? The Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah that whenever you have something that's called Sreifa, then we apply the principle of Kitusei Mechta Shiura. So there were many answers to this question, but one of the answers was that there's no shear in the shemen of Ner Chanukah. You remember that?
Yeah.
And the shear is external to the atzma shel Ner. You know, it's not a shear that's in the Ner itself. Is b'meila eino chinami? According to the Prima Gadim, you certainly have to light with a shear of shemen. But the Prima, did I get that right? The Prima Gadim, right. But the Prima Gadim is arguing that since this shear is different than any other shear, certainly in any mitzvah, let's say for example I took a lulav and I made a bracha, the lulav only has 2.5 tefachim, which is less than the shear. Or I get this teeny little esrog that's less than the size of an egos, right? So for sure I have to make another bracha when I obtain the right. And that's true for all shiurim. But here's different. Why? Because even though the Gemara says it's a shear, the Gemara doesn't mean that it's a shear. It's a borrowed term. It's not the real McCoy shear. What do you say?
Pnei
Yeshua. Oh, I don't remember the Pnei Yeshua. I remember Reb Kiveger, and who else did we have? Remind me, the names, I think it was a Sfasevis, wasn't it?
Yes.
I think it was a Sfasevis. Anyway, I have it here. I'm just too lazy to find it. We have so many pages here. Maybe I left it in the basement. Okay. So now it comes out that according to the Prima Gadim, this shear of Ner Chanukah is not Be'etzem HaChefza, and therefore you don't repeat the bracha a second time.
Can I ask you?
There was who was it that said it's a Divichina Doraisa and a Drabbanon? Maybe that was the Sfasems. I remember the names, but the names are not important. That Kedusei Mechtesh Yira only applies when you're dealing with a mitzvah Doraisa, but not with a mitzvah Drabbanon. So in a mitzvah Drabbanon, we don't apply the principle of Kedusei Mechtesh Yira. So Enochinami Drabbanon requires shear, but we're not going to treat that shear with the same chumra that we would normally treat a shear. And therefore, the Prima Gadim went a step further, and he said, just like we're going to allow something that doesn't really have the shear for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, and we're going to validate the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, so too, in the case where you don't have a shear, b'di'eved, you yotze the mitzvah, to the extent to which that you don't have to make another bracha. And again, I'm going to have to add another point over here. Again, the same point that we made before, when we're speaking about the Beis Ephraim, that there are two kiyumim in Ner Chanukah, right? The Maisad Loka and the Ner Doluk. So the question is, can I implement a Maisad Loka in a case where I have less than a shear of Shemen? And the answer is, if the shear is not inherent in the Ner, then at least the Ner Mitzad Atzmo is royal Lehad Loka. Again, not Had Loka of a half hour of a Ner Doluk, but at least royal for a Maisad Loka. And once I obtain the kiyum of Maisad Loka, I don't have to make another bracha, the first bracha is chal on this. So again, just to summarize, Alan, according to the Chayodom, in a case of the Piskei Rid, where he lights Beruach Ritzuya, does he make a bracha on the second halakha, does he not? And what's the answer? It depends. It all depends on the machlokas between the Pri Chadosh and the Pri Megadim regarding less than a shiur.
But is there a difference? Is it because of the kibboy that occurred between them? In other words, when he says you don't have to make a bracha, is he saying you don't have to make a bracha because the second lighting is a hemshech? That's the pre.
Which sheet are we going on? So we're talking about less than a shear, or we're talking
less
about Ruach Matsuya?
It was less than a shear.
Less than a shear.
Right. Whether he has to make a bracha or not.
On the second halakha.
Right, halakha. Depends on whether you view it as a continuation of the first one, he's being mostly for shear, or whether because. Or it's not, or it doesn't count because. And I'm wondering what the difference is the kibboy. In other words, there's two possibilities. The case that he states where he lit it less than a shear, and it went out, and then he lit again, and he doesn't have to make a bracha according to one.
Right, the Prima Gadim.
Because he adds to it. What about, would he agree without any question at all, if you made a bracha on less than a shear, and while it was still lit, you added
I would say not Yotze in that case. But you know, it's okay, you might say maybe he is Yotze. I would say he's not Yotze. I mean, you're entitled to your opinion.
He's saying that you would be Yotze with the bracha from the first one by being modeling a second time. Why do you have to be
well,
madlik?
Well,
a
no.
Time?
Even if he doesn't, even if he's not madlik the second time, the bracha I'm suggesting is chal on the first hadlaka because there was at least a bit of shemen, enough shemen to create a ma'isa.
Yeah, and if you know me, so what is the difference whether you add shemen to it or whether you make it a second?
Because the mitzvah is not just a ma'isa hadlaka. The mitzvah is to create a ner. And this nair has to have the capacity of lasting for a half hour. So for that, in order to obtain the full-fledged kiyum of nair chanuk, to not only a maisad luck, but also to create this nair that we want to create, for that you need a second luck. I'm just suggesting that maybe the bracha, the chobas bracha, you yotze zayin because the bracha registers on the maisad luck.
In the second lighting, how much oil was in there? Was it just to add
excellent
to the first?
Excellent.
Or was it
I'm suggesting
share?
That he has to start from scratch. And I'm convinced of that according to the pre-chadash, right? If we go back to the pre-chadash says that he has to make a new bracha. So if he doesn't fill up the oil and then he lights less than the shia, the mahuilu, the second adlaka is no better than the first adlaka. The first adlaka was worth nothing. Now your question is going to be very relevant and very pressing if you all like the prima gadim. If you all like the prima gadim, that maybe the first hadlaka is meaningful, so then maybe all he has to do in the second hadlaka is add enough. Be very fascinating. Let's say the first hadlaka lasted for 15 minutes. How much oil would he have to add according to prima gadim in the second hadlaka? Another 15 minutes worth of oil. You know, that's fascinating.
Well, that would be true. But you still say that he's had to have a second hadlaka. It wouldn't.
No, that's for sure. Everybody agrees that when the Gemara says l'shiura, it means without the shiur, he's not off the hook. You know, he still has a chiyuv. The question is, has he at least obtained enough of a chiyuv and enough of a kiyuv to absolve him from a bracha on the second hadlaka?
Could this apply to like doing any mitzvah if you start any mitzvah without having enough?
Again,
to
I would say the following, unless you have an exceptional case. If you didn't have enough to constitute a shir, it's meaningless. The whole ma'isa mitzvah is gone. The shir is a t'nai in setting up a valid ma'isa mitzvah.
Let's take matzah.
That's a good example.
So what happened,
the second half is ice.
Let's say that all he had was like
a chatzi
kazayas,
and he
made the bracha, and then all of a sudden in comes Elianov and
I would say garnish vert. You know, you have to have one achila because the Torah says ba'erev tochlu matzah. So if it's tochu de achilas pras, then it's one achila.
So you're starting again.
But if all of a sudden, you know, a half hour later, somebody brings him another chatzi zayas, you know, that's
achilas pras.
So then you're right. Then and yochinami. That's exactly how we do the mitzvah every
so then why does that apply here? Let's say it goes out. It goes out
because there's no parallel to tochu de achilas pras and adlokas nechanim. We don't have a parallel. In other words, there's a very unique mechanics or mechanism with regard to achila that you can be tzarif one achila with the other, both for mitzvahs and for averus. But in hadlaka, there's no such din. So, for example, let's say the kohen would light the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash with less than a chatzi lug of shemen, and then he gains another chatzi lug of shemen. There's no mitzarif. You know, it's not the full lug has to be there at the time of the hadlaka. And here too, I would have said without the prima gadim that to light less than a full shear, let's say the shear of Ner Chanuk would be a chatzi lug, to light less than a chatzi lug would be meaningless. There's nothing to be mitzarefit because your hadlaka is already gone.
So that's true. Then
in achila, your achila is not gone.
Then the original,
why? Because it's halacha of tzir of achila.
Then he wasn't yotze with the original Ner Chanuk in the base of Mikdash.
Well, it had a chatzi lug. If it had a chatzi lug, then he was yotze. If it didn't have a chatzi lug, he's not yotze.
But what about the next day? It continued.
Again, I'm talking about the Maisad block. What are you talking about? You're not talking about the Maisad block.
I'm talking about the nace that occurred.
Yeah.
Would not, that isn't worth beans because what was there was only for one day. And you were yotze for the rest of the days don't count because there was no shemen there l'chatchila.
Well, no. So now you're getting into the famous base Yosef's kasha. Why do we celebrate the first night?
Right.
So let's go with it. And this is all a very deep, profound analysis of Ner Shebamikdash. Let's assume like the following answer, the Beis Halevi, that every night they put in the full Pach Shemen. So there was a shear of Chatzilut. But what happened was, the miracle was, that only a fraction of the light, or maybe even none of the light, were extinguished. Now, if you assume that on the second night, the 1/8 of the volume was consumed, and then once again you have the cash, how could they light on the second night? So this is a pilpul, and a lot of discussions about this. Oh, but now we get to paragraph number 2 of the Chayodah. This is the paragraph that I think is the apex of our discussion. Correct? And here, Yechiel, you're going to see that Chayodah's perspective is just the polar opposite of your perspective. He says the following, Yesh lomar, shadloka b'mokom haruach, grua me'adloka below shir. He wants to say the following, that even if I hold like the Prima Gadim, that if I lit pachos mikashir, I don't make another bracha, this case of Ruach Metzuya is worse. And therefore the Piskei Harid and the conclusion thereof is going to be that for sure you have to make a bracha on the second adlock in the case of Ruach Metzuya. Why? So, you know, some people think that the Chayyada was not a lamdin. You know, he was just codifying the halacha and so forth and so on. Here you'll see what a big lamdin he was. He says the following. That this is not on the same level as Chatzi Shir. Why? The B'makom Ruach Miyad Kishehidlik, it's very possible that immediately, you know, again, I told you before, we don't know if it's going to last for a second, a minute, 5 minutes, we don't know how long it's going to last. But the possibility exists that this Ruach Metzuya, which has the capacity to blow out the candle, might immediately blow out the candle. So you're blowing it in a way that it's immediately going to go out. It's almost like you didn't succeed in getting the wick, you know, inflamed, or whatever the verb might be. He says, Kevet Shemiyad Yochol and these are the four key words here. I underlined them in my edition. Ein zu hadlaka klal. In other words, whereas you can debate the case of Chatzi Shir, whether or not it is a Mais Hadlaka or it's not a Mais Hadlaka, and again, intuitively, I would have said that Chatzi Shir is not a Mais Hadlaka, but the Prima Gadim insists that it is a Mais Hadlaka because the Shir is not in the Cheftz itself. But in the case of Ruach Metzuya, ain't zu adlaka klam. Masha ain't keink, shenosan, pochus mikishir shemen, is therefore, it could be lit for 15 minutes, and that 15 minutes, even though it's pochus mikishir, chatzi shir asa Torah, that's enough to establish a mais adlaka. And since he had a mais adlaka, therefore, the Prima Gadim goes as far as to say, he will not make a bracha on the second adlaka, which is kishir. Masha ain't keink in the case of Ruach Metzuya, here the Chayyadim says, Ein zu adlaka klal. So this is fascinating because this takes us back to our grassroots basic discussion about Ner Chanukah. If I have a Ner Chanukah that doesn't have the capacity to last for a half hour, so then I would have said that that's not even a Mais Adlaka. But if I apply that yardstick, then the Prima Gadim makes no sense because the Prima Gadim is saying that in Chatzi Shir of Shemen, I do have a Mais Hadlaka. Now, if the Piskei Reed is postulating an analogy, between Ruach Metzuya and Chatzi Shir, then just like Chatzi Shir, we said. So, one second. If we go with the Prima Gadim would say. In other words, you can already guarantee that in the case of Chatzi Shir, you know from the get-go that this hadlaka is going to be, it's like Chatzi Shir Asa Min HaTorah, meaning there's some significance to the Chatzi Shir of Shemen. What does that generate? What does that validate? A Mais Hadlaka. Once you generate a Mais Hadlaka, you can begin to understand the Prima Gadim, that there's something upon which the bracha could be chal. Every bracha has to sort of be tofei something. It has to latch itself onto something. You can latch the bracha of lahadlik neir shel chametz to a maisad look, even if you don't have the shear, because you've got 15 minutes guaranteed. But let's say you light it in a place where you don't even have one split second guaranteed. Immediately when you light it, it's gonna go out. So I know that this, it's a little bit reminiscent, I hate to say, it's a very gory analogy, it's a little bit reminiscent of a goseis, you know. This candle is a goseis. And if it's a goseis, then ha'ori gets a goseis is potter, because the ready life is incomplete. So he wants to say that in this case where the eish, the shalhevis is going to go out because of the ruach mitzuya, that's not called hadlok. To create a shalhevis which doesn't even have a barest minimum of a life, of a shelf life, you know, you can't even guarantee that it'll be on the shelf for the barest minimum of zman. So I don't know exactly what would the chayonim say. If I only have a very little amount of oil, there's no ruach, would that be enough? It's going to last for 30 seconds.
It's a hadlaka.
What?
It's a hadlaka. I think it's a...
You want to say it's a hadlaka, even if it'll last for 30 seconds?
It's an actual hadlaka.
Because he's not going to answer the question, how much shaman is there?
The ruach, according to the chayonim, seems like the ruach does... makes it so there's no hadlaka. It's not...
Would you grant the usher that has to last for Kidei Shela Shalom Talmud L'Rab? You know? Shalom Lecha Shalom
Rab. I don't know. Rabbi what's considered hadlaka? It's when...
Exactly. This could have tremendous implications in many things. What's considered a mice hadlaka for last one?
When it starts to go... Once it reaches the...
Tolkien Deber, it goes out.
There's three levels of the flame, right? There's three different...
in Hilchos Chanukah, I'm not aware.
No, but I'm saying in the flame.
Oh, you're talking scientific.
I'm saying in terms of flame, it has to create, get to a certain point where it reaches that, you know, there's the blue and the red, whatever. There's some.
Oh.
Are
you talking, Asher, about the first Rashi in Parshas Baloscha? Rashi says, why does it say Baloscha? Correct. Asher Tei Shalevis Olam Eileo. Right.
So it has to reach that level, what we call a flame. We don't call it a flame.
And it could be that within a few split seconds, it's already shalhevis olam eileo.
But I don't know. The thing with the chayyim saying, it never reaches that. That's the point.
In the case of the ruach.
So it never has a chance to actually reach that.
But Rabbi said, do you see where Yechiel Sfarah and the chayyim Sfarah, two fascinating Sfarahs that are, if I'm not mistaken, let's make the calculation, are on polar extremes. Yechiel is saying, on the contrary, even according to the Pri Chodesh, who completely disqualifies Chatzi Shir, he can accept that you don't have to make a bracha on what? On Ruach Mitzuyah, because the Nair itself, forgetting about the Ruach, but if you isolate the Nair itself has the potential of lasting endlessly, right?
What does that mean? Do they mean the Nair?
In other words, what Yechiel is pointing out is that let's not look at the circumstances that surround the Nair. Let's just focus on the Nair itself. Do you have a Nair which in and of itself could last? The answer is in Chatzi Shir, says the Pri Chodesh, no. It's worthless, make another bracha, start from scratch. But in the case of the Piskei Rid, one could ostensibly argue that no, the Nair itself is okay. Or do you say the other thing? And here's where the Chayyim would say, Faket, from the fact that there's a Ruach Mitzuya, then we're not going to say the Nair per se is what? Is a Nair that could last. What do you mean? The Nair is relative to its location. And if I take the Nair relative to its ambiance, to its location, that Nair is not going to last for a second. It's going to go out. And if it's garnish fed. And even if I hold the Pachas Mikashir, like the Prima Gadam, and I don't have to make another Bracha, I would definitely have to make a bracha in the case of Ruach Mitzuyah. It's not even a Maisad. And at this point, I would have said that the Chayyim would have gone home as a happy camp. But the plot grows thicker. Because of a sugya in Masechta Erevin and a sugya in Masechta Sukkah. In these two sugyas, the Gemara analyzes the status of a Heftah Shel Mitzvah that's going to be batel, that we know because of its reality, of course of the facts on the ground, that it's not going to last. One case is a case of what's called a Lechi, and that's in Hilchos Erevin, and the other is a case of a Sukkah that's going to fall apart. So let's take the first case. This is in the paragraph that starts with the word El. And what amazes me is, you know, this is something I was always in this poll from my Rebbe, that sometimes you work very hard on this sugya and finally you come up with a breakthrough. At that point, tam v'nishlam, let's go home. But the real gedolim, it's unbelievable. They never go home. They just keep plowing on and on and on. They get one PhD for a brilliant thesis, and then they start all the way from scratch. So says the chayodim, even after I told you what I told you, I'm going to be honest with you, intellectual honesty. Let's take a look at a sugya about a lechi, which has to be a heker in order to create a closed mavoi, so to speak, and allow you to carry in the mavoi. So what does the Gemara say? So he doesn't quote the sugya, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch. We'd have to go back to the sugya in Erevin. Lechi ha'omed lipol beruach mitzuya. He puts up a lechi, and the weight of the lechi, and given the velocity of the wind, of a normal wind, the lechi is not going to last. It's going to be blown down. You know, a lechi has to be placed in up there where you see the lechi. It's a kera. Everything is a kera. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins based on the sugya erevin mutal etaltil al yodam, means the lechi is valid or invalid. It's valid
as long as it lasts.
It's valid as long as it lasts. Afsha achrei shehu yipol yia asul etaltil. Okay, as Alan says, as long as it lasts. The law arinon, we don't say kevet shaomid lipol is ki'ilu eino. Therefore, the Chayodim says that if you have this, I think you feel maybe he's coming. He's finally coming to your position. Maybe, I don't know. I honestly, I think this is where he's vacillating back and forth. That fakert omei lipo lav kanipo domi. I mean, really have to go through all of Shas. But what's the status of Ruach Mitzuyah? Ruach Mitzuyah is a very dangerous situation, and in Hilchas Nezikin it generates a Chiyuv Shmira and a Pshia Machayevis and so forth and so on. And that's the sugya, the beginning of Perek HaKones, Ruach Mitzuyah. But as far as a Cheftah Shel Mitzvah is concerned, we're not going to say it's as if it was blown over. When it blows over, we have a problem. So you can't use a lechi after it gets blown over. But right now it hasn't been blown over yet. And the Gemara assumes, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch codifies it, that it's a valid lechi, and you can continue carrying in that mavui as long as that lechi stands and it hasn't been blown down.
So what's the definition of a ruach mitzuya? Does it mean it's a steady wind, or is that
I don't think it's a steady wind. I think it's a normal gust wind. You know, if we'd have to study meteorologically how it works, and we have a guy Yaakov sometimes shows up here. He's a meteorologist.
Right, but I mean, but it doesn't have to be that it's.
It's not always the same velocity, but there's a normal range which you can anticipate.
Yeah,
again, you have to know within what period of time. But within a certain period of time, you know, you have all the graphs. You can assume that the wind is going to reach the strong enough velocity that it's going to blow this lechi out of the ballpark, right? What's the, by the way, on the side, maybe Dr. Joel, you would know, what's the din in baseball if you hit a baseball and the wind carries it over, is that called a home run?
Yeah, it is.
So it's interesting, in Hilchas baseball we have what's called Eish, which means Ruach Acher Mitzuyah, that Koach Acher Me'urav Bo, that you can mitzarev his Koach when he hit the ball together with the Ruach. I think I once came up with a whole Chiddush on this when I was learning Bava Kama. Anyway, Hilchas baseball.
You see, case,
see how American I am, right?
In Hilchas case, it depends on what exactly how you define Ruach Mitzuyah. Because if you take, you light a candle, and there's enough oil there to go for the full 30 minutes, but what you do is you take a big, glass bowl like that, you place it over it.
And you smother it?
No, now what you've done, you've limited its oxygen supply to a certain amount. If that oxygen supply is less than what we needed to carry the 30 minutes, that's never going to burn 30 minutes, no matter what. You can have 30 minutes worth of oil in there, it's not going to make a bit of difference. Now, was that would be considered a Ruach Mitzuyah, or is that, because that can make a difference.
So that depends on this vacillation of the Chayodim. From the Chayodim's perspective, well, again, it's a little more complicated. Was the glass there when he lit? Or somebody added the glass after? Then you're not going to ask you who added the glass. Let's say it was somebody else.
Unless you have a mechanical arm, it has to be, it was put on after the lid because
no, I'm saying, let's say the mitzvah was that there's enough of an opening that opens and closes or whatever it might be that he could actually light the candle, but it's already at the moment that it's
closed system.
The old lantern.
So in that case, the old lanterns where it's enclosed, I would say that's exactly what the chayodim is dealing with here. That it's so full lipo, there's not enough oxygen to keep the air, to keep the fire going.
Okay.
But if on the other hand, let's say at the time that he lit it, there was plenty of oxygen, and then some external situation came about. That's already called a ruach eina mitzuya, and that would certainly be yotzei. But if the locking down, the exclusion of the oxygen was there at the time of that dloka, then that's like ruach mitzuya. It's not going to last for a half hour. And now, what is the status of ruach mitzuya? And here is where the chayodim vacillates. Initial position of the chayodim was garnish worth. It's not worth a thing. It's not even a maisa dloka, but then at the end, the chayodim has a sugyan erevin about lechi, which seems to say, let's look at the lechi as it is now. Forget about all external conditions. In the case of chatzishir, the pri chodesh says you have to make another bracha. That's because the chatzishir is not a ner. But here, it's a ner. That's what Yechiel is saying. So halacha lemaisa, the chayodim is so impressed by this equation with lechi that he says not to make a bracha. Again, imagine he lit the candle in a place where it's a ruach mitzuya, and the piskei rid says he's got to rekindle lech. Don't make a bracha on it. Why? Because we're not going to say that it's not a ner. Then the chayodim says, well, what about another sugya in mesechta sukkah? I think in the footnote he tells you where the sugya is. No. Isn't this very strange? The footnote is the same as what it says on the top. Alright, anyway, I think there's some sort of printing error over here. He says, V'eilo v'iraya lehepach. I'm going to prove to you that once something is going to fall apart, then it's considered as if it fell apart. So if you put the flame in a place where the wind is going to, it's not considered a flame. He did sukkah barosh hasfina. So you build a sukkah on the top of a ship, a boat. Shem eini yachol lamod beruach mitzuya, because out there, you know, ruach mitzuya is relative itself. I mean, ruach mitzuya in the case of out in the sea is a much more strong high velocity wind. So he says, in such a case. Wait, what's the next word here? In eini yachol lamod beruach mitzuya. Oh, diabosh. Oh, wait a minute. It's much more complicated than what I said. Just 1 second. Just give me a second. Sorry, I have to clear my brain over here. It means that what? In eini yachol lamod beruach mitzuya.
Oh, in other words, he's just on the yabasha.
Yeah. In other words, we have a definition of ruach mitzuya based on yabasha. So I don't know why is the case of Sfina, I guess because that's a case where.
No, he's saying that Sfina, it went to.
Why is he mentioning Sfina Barosh HaSfina? Why is he saying Sukkah Barosh HaSfina? I'm not sure. Okay, what time is it? I see we're pressed for time, so let's just get at least to the conceptual punchline. We have to work out some of the details. He says, he says, that's a great raya on the other side, that the sukkah is psula because it's eini yachol lamod beruach mitzuya.
Even though it's on me.
But you can't bring a raya because even though it could stand on the ruach of Yabasha, it can't stand on the ruach of the Yam, and therefore it's considered not to be existing at all.
That's not what he says, Osher. Maybe you want to say as far.
That's what he says.
He wants to say what I call in brisket terminology a din misuyam. You remember when we used to study methodology? It's a din misuyam in sukkah. In sukkah, there's another condition that only exists in sukkah because sukkah is so unique in the way that the Torah envisions a sukkah. That's why we're going to already consider the fact that it's going to be blown down. You know, I huff and I puff, right? Yeshlam the shiny hossam vashtein pasuk. What does it say there? By sukkah teshvu kein taduru.
Right.
Adira. So he says the following. The Oslo Nikra Dira Klal, a person would never build a dwelling place in a place where, you know, with the snap of a finger and a Ruach Mitzuya comes along, it's just going to blow it,
that's
blow
what
it
said,
away.
But that's what
so
said.
I think he's saying it's...
Yes, he's saying that...
Did Mitzuya in Sukkah.
Right. So he's saying that even though, because it's not, it can't withstand, you built it on the Sfina, and it can't stand on a Sfina, so it doesn't exist. So I'm telling you that even if you brought it on land,
yeah.
He says, but even though, here's it.
So Ashen, yeah, what would be if he built such a sukkah on land? What would be the status? It would be kosher?
No. He's saying no. He's saying that. He says afshel men. Even if it's standing, it so happens it's standing, but if it... doesn't matter. It's still even though it's withstanding the lower winds of the land, even though it can withstand that, it was built on the ocean and the yabush.
I think Osher, you're making something too complicated. When he says afshel medes, he's saying that even though, for whatever reason, you know, it hasn't fallen.
Right.
You know, he lucked out here, and there was a fluke, and it's still not standing. Nevertheless, he wasn't yotze. Why? Because that's not called a deer.
The footnote leaves out yabush. That's the difference between the footnote and
it makes sense to leave out the word yabush. Yabush is very complicated. Otherwise, it's word for word the same.
Yeah, but that's what
there's some printing error here, no? Why would he write something in the text and then repeat himself in the
footnote? To leave out the Yabosha.
Maybe. Why did he just leave out the Yabosha on top and make life easy? Okay, Rabosei, so we'll stop here. Let's just review. We covered a lot today. We covered a discussion about the Kiyum Doraisa of Hanukkah, and we offered two suggestions, one with the Kal V'chomer from Misal Achayim in Hilchos Hodor. In the context of Rav Daniel Ababli, in terms of Kiddush Hashem, is the Kiddush Hashem with Ne'agoyim? And then we covered the sugya of the Chayonah back and forth with the Piskei Riv in a Ruach Mitzuya situation. Okay then? So that's
I'm not sure why it makes the difference between Sovet and Lekki. It seems that it's just a matter of Nikar. So when a lack